from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Gonna pop in here for a couple minutes. I can say hello to you, Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
I'm a good friend with Wonstadt as well. And what's his drink of choice, by the way?
Usually a Manhattan.
I'm an old-fashioned guy myself.
Football analyst for the Marquee Network.
Tanny, we got to have another little taste because Spiggs is here.
Something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5:00 somewhere.
Coach Dave Wonstadt joins us right now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Home of the world's largest sports book. The football season approaches. Coach, you're on with me, Spiggs, and Dan Bernstein and Barry Rosner.
Just worst damn nightmare.
Wow. What is going on, Spiggs? What's going on? You got a full deck in there, huh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
None of them are playing with one coach. I had this idea to get Rosner in here. Then I thought Bernstein would leave, and he just doesn't. No matter what we do, he's not leaving.
Nobody cares where I go or where I am. It doesn't matter. I got nowhere to go.
We asked him to leave, Dave. He will not leave.
Yeah, well, he knew I was coming on. He wanted to hang around and see what I had to say.
Damn right I do.
I mean, yes. Hey, Coach, you're one of our favorite humans, and we're glad to talk to you. And can you explain to us, how Ryan Poles seems to be feeling about this team? When he talked yesterday, seemed to be very excited, very happy with where they are. Does he have a right to feel the way he seems to about the state of this roster?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. When the statement was made, it's going to be difficult to make this team. That's kind of the way it played out. And I think that the guys that he added late, the couple of the pass rusher and Smith, the defensive tackle, how much they help, I don't know, but they're veteran guys that have done it, and he got them virtually for nothing. So, we added some draft picks, we added some free agents to help us at the bottom of our roster, and who knows, maybe some of these guys will contribute big time. So, I don't know what more the guy could have done, truly. When you sit back and look at it, it's not like he, even though we didn't get the Judon kid, they went to Atlanta and a couple of things. It's not like the Bears were sitting back and saying, we don't want to spend that money. So I give him a lot of credit. I honestly, from a draft standpoint and from a free agent standpoint, I don't know what more Bear fans could expect out of Ryan Poles. And now, now we just got to go out and win some games, obviously.
There's a level of optimism that is way, way through the roof here in this town. It's an interesting moment. Ryan Poles said he believes that this year the team will, quote, take that big jump, unquote. What will that look like? What will we be looking at if indeed the Bears, quote, take that big jump, unquote?
Well, I think it comes down to winning 2-3 games and, getting on a little winning streak, getting some momentum and moving forward and then being relevant. I mean, when December gets here, You want to be talked about in the playoff hunt in a serious manner. I think the Bears are going to be good enough to do that. I really do. I think the key's going to be coming out of the blocks fast. I said this on the air the other day. I mean, I realistically think the Bears will win 6 out of their first 10. I think that's probably what they have to do. And if it's, you're probably going to need 10 wins to be a playoff team. I'd bet them to win. I got them real early. I think it was 7.5 in May. And I put a bet in then that I think they'll win 9, at least 9 games and be a playoff team, whether it's a division winner or a wild card. You know, who knows? It doesn't matter at this point. Just be relevant when you get to December, where you got a legitimate chance and you're playing good football.
What did it say to you, Dave, that they made late trades to get both an edge rusher and a tackle? With all the talk about all the quality that they have, they were not done making moves for guys who you knew were going to end up on the 53.
Yeah, I got to find out. Boy, you know, the pass rusher, averaged seven sacks a year the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. My first reaction was, what's wrong with this guy?
Can't stop the run. He doesn't stop the run.
Can't stop the run in final year of his deal.
Well, yeah, I know he's in the final. You know, so was there a problem? One of my point is, it's not like Seattle is got any dominant pass rushers out there. I mean, even if they used him for the same capacity as what the Bears did, 7 sacks a year is that's playing. That's a nice job. It's not, you know, again, it's not double digits. It's not Hall of Fame numbers, but that's a nice guy to have, at least I would think, when you're trying to build a little bit of a foundation and win a few games and get the thing off the ground. Now, I heard that they're going to the 3-4, not the 4-3 and all blah, blah, blah. I get it. It also tells me this, that the ideal scenario for this defense that the Bears are playing right now would be able to rush 4 and pressure probably 15%, maybe 20% of the time. That would be the ideal numbers at the end of the year, the way Flus wants to run this defense. It's and take me out of it, but it's a combination, because we talked about this. And he coached at Dallas when they were still in the fourth. You know, it's a combination of kind of what we started at Dallas, what Tony Dungy was doing. It's what they do at Houston. Let's bring it into – and what the Jets do. Rush 4, okay, and multiple coverages where you got – you know, you're going from 2 to 3 to man to zone, and you're getting good enough pressure that the ball's got to come out and you come up with turnovers. Flus proved to us last year when they couldn't get pressure that he was willing to bring pressure. We know we went from bottom 10 to top 10, actually top 5 in numbers of pressures and defensive production. I think he's looking to say, if there's some way, I really got some stuff that I'd like to do with our secondary without blitzing and pressuring. If we could get a pass rusher that can help us there, we could get one step closer to what I really want to do deep down. I think that's part of it. I just hope personally that they don't slight this Booker kid. And I know he's light, you know, and he doesn't weigh that much. And will he play the run? I would play. This kid's got to play. I mean, we used to say, and you've heard me say it, all you guys, you know, we used to always talk about going way back at our national championship teams at Miami. Let's get those guys to do things we don't have to coach. He's a guy that does stuff rushing the passer that you don't have to coach. So the only way he's going to get better, in my estimation, is play. So I just hope that they don't slight his playing time by putting somebody else in there that's not going to be with us 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
He's Dave Wanstead. This is The Score. I'm Spiegs. That's Dan Bernstein for some reason. And an even stranger appearance is by Barry Rosner.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Dave, I really like Caleb Williams, unlike the last two quarterbacks, which is a conversation we're not going to have because I'm never coming back, actually. But I really like him. I just wonder if you look at the national expectations, and I assume it's the same here locally, it's extraordinary what's expected of this kid right out of the box. If you were the head coach, Do you think these expectations would be fair, and what would you be thinking in your mind?
No, the expectations are way high, in my opinion. I would tell Caleb right now, listen, he should not be, and I'll tell Bears fans this, he should not be the center, and he's going to be because he's a quarterback and a number one pick. I get all that. But for the Bears to have a playoff team, they've got to play great defense. They've got to play smart football, and they've got to be balanced on offense. Here's what they got to get out of Caleb Williams, and this, in my opinion. The two-minute drill before the half. Okay, we get the ball. Let's get down and get a field goal or a touchdown. Caleb, we're going to need you to make a play or two. We get a turnover on their side of the field. We got the ball at the 30 going in. Caleb, we need you to make a play here, son, so that we can get some points out of this. End of the game. The games are going to be close. We know the NFL. Okay. It's tie. We're behind. This is where you earn your money, son. We need you to do your thing and make a couple plays to give us a chance to win. That, to me, is what's been missing. I don't think Caleb needs to do any more than that, guys. The trap would be, we got Keenan Allen, Adunze, and DJ Moore, and Komet, and on and on, and Swift. Let's throw the ball 45, 50 times a game. That's putting way too much on that kid. I would not be for that. I think they got to be more than balanced. And I was at the Bears when Brett Favre was a starter with Mike Holmgren, an offensive guy. I was the head coach of the Dolphins when Tom Brady started his first game with a defensive head coach in Belichick. Different plays, but both scenarios were defense, screens, high percentage, run the ball, let this young kid gain confidence as he matures, and there's going to be times in the game, hey, just like the situations I just talked about, where you got to look to him and say, son, go in and we need a play. You got to go in and make a play. Do something that we haven't had around here in a while.
I don't think wants that, Dave. I when you hear him and
hear
when you
who?
See him, Caleb.
Oh, yeah, it's not up to him.
I think Caleb wants every chance to be a star from the get-go.
Well, guess what? Yeah. He's not the coach, and he's not the GM.
Yeah, but this is a different cat.
I know, but you heard polls yesterday. Polls said he wants Caleb to lean on the talent around him. And when the time is right, that's when you do the special. And Flus was talking about him as a point guard. I mean, this is what they want, and the team is good enough. I think he's going to say yes and do what he needs to do.
Well, all I'm going to tell you is Troy Aikman wanted to do that too. At another position, Ricky Williams sat in my office at Miami with tears in his eyes and says, Coach, I need the ball more. I said, Ricky, I'm giving you the ball over 350 times over the course of last year. You know, you carried the ball more than anybody except Curtis Martin. Coach, I want the ball more. You know, I mean, I would be disappointed if Caleb didn't say that, Shane. That would be my answer. That's what I want you to think. That's what I want you to say, but we're going to make decisions that's best for this football team to win. You got to trust us on that.
Hey, Dave, just be real clear right now. That's not me. That's that dumbass Dan Bernstein who's celebrating back here saying it's the worst insult he's ever gotten, you calling him me.
Well, I apologize then, okay, to you and Bernstein. Oh. I mean, that, you know what, Shane, that was a pretty good question. Yeah. Usually you're asking me what type of bourbon, if I'm drinking Bradshaw bourbon or if I'm having a good cigar or where do you want to go to dinner? That's usually our conversation. Right. So it did kind of catch me off guard a little bit here. And that would be my response to the kid. Sure. I mean, every great player. How many times think, a Michael Irvin, and I'm using his name as an example. How many times do you think he was standing out in the hallway saying, I want the ball more. I mean, mm-hmm. That's what the great ones do. And that's why they're great players, because they want the football. They want opportunities. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do. It's best for the team.
Shane wanted to ask also about the swing tackle, didn't you? Burnsy, that's you.
I don't know. What do you mean? A defense or offense?
No, here's what I saw on the when the depth chart came out today.
Didn't work.
I saw that Kieran Amagaje, the rookie out of Yale, was listed as their third tackle. Now, it looks to me like the vet is Pryor, who's going to be listed as a guard, but I would imagine would be the first tackle up. I don't understand how you can have a guy who didn't practice, who is a rookie out of the Ivy League, and expect him to step into the NFL in the relatively important role of third offensive tackle.
No way. It'll never happen. I agree with you. Never happen. I'll put another layer on that. And when Flus met him, he met him at a country club. I wish he would have met him in an alley, you know? If he met him in an alley someplace, I'd feel a lot better about this guy. But, you know, Ivy League and not training camp, God bless him. I hope he's an all-pro. I really do. And I'm saying this in jest, but there's no way. No way is that guy going to be the first guy, you know, off the bench if there's an injury at tackle. I promise you. I don't know who they'll put there, but it won't be him.
Can you believe that Nate Davis apparently has been practicing? Coach, he's been practicing, and it looks like he might even play week one, all things being equal. That's a nice touch.
You just said it. Week one. Let's see. I don't know Nate. God bless the guy. He's a good player. He got a lot of money. But I don't trust those guys that don't practice enough and get hurt. He makes me nervous. Makes me nervous.
Coach, how good can this defense be? Jaquan Brisker earlier today said he thinks they can be a top five defense. You think they can be? That's real good.
I do. Absolutely. The issue is going to be getting enough pressure because, you know, I mean, and I've said this on the air before, you know, the key to a quarterback, every time he drops back, he's got to have that fear that he's going to get hit in the mouth. That's how he makes hurried throws. That's how he makes bad throws. So I want to see how this unfolds with our defensive line and pressure, because the minute you got to keep in mind, the minute you start bringing safeties, Brisker, or you're bringing Gordon, you know, now you're going to get into one-on-one situations, and now you got a Stevenson out there who's an excellent player, you know, one of my guys from the U, but now he's going to be one-on-one with somebody, and you'd rather probably not have that a lot, particularly, you know, against some of these receivers that they're going to be facing. So that's the only issue that I want to see is how is the pressure going to evolve? Is it going to be the front guys? Is it going to be blitz again? That's the only question. They're going to be good against the run. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about the guys up front at all. I think those front seven guys against the run are going to be excellent. To me, the whole thing's going to come down to third down, getting off the field.
Coach Dave Wannstedt, we were talking earlier in the show about the 90s and me and Burnsy as young up-and-comers on the Score with big dreams. And Burnsy was talking about hanging around with you in the parking lot of various hotels as Wani had a cigar.
The night before the game walk-around, where Dave would go have dinner, and then he would have, you know, he'd be thinking about everything and going through game plans, and he would literally kind of walk around the grounds sometimes. And if he
Almost every week, I'd take my inner circle of guys after the meetings were done. You know, it was late. I don't even know if you were you still up that late, Burns?
Shoot.
It was probably 11 o'clock, you know? Come on.
And, I was waiting for Vincent Smith to go to sleep, and that was...
that was still going to be a while.
I never knew what I was going to see on the elevator, so... Yeah.
but we would walk, and you know what we got into? We would walk from... it happened just out of being charitable. We started walking Michigan Avenue. Joe Pendry was on our staff coaching the running backs. You remember Joe? And Joe said, we were staying at the Hilton. He said, let's take a walk to Michigan Avenue. Let's go that way for a change, Coach. I said, okay. So we started walking. We started talking about the game, and one thing led to another. And, you know, we're walking past some guys that were, you know, the homeless people needed some help. And so I'd give them something. So we start, and then Tony Wise started bringing jackets in. And so our walk was very interesting. We would talk football, and Tony Wise would give out old bear stuff to people on the street.
Wow.
And, and I always had a wad of cash with me. And it was, And we have a good cigar. No, they were important times of the week for us as we look back on them.
And on the road too. Like I remember it was in St. Louis. Oh, yeah. I think I caught you at the end of a walk when we were in St. Louis, and it was always a question about. You're always thinking about the defensive game plan. And it was always top of mind. Like, where am I going to put the linebackers? Where am I going to put the safeties?
But I love that when you did the walk in Chicago, you guys started taking care of the homeless sort of by accident, and then it became a thing to do. That's kind of that's beautiful, Coach.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff. The walks, the staff walks we call it the inner circle. Hmm. You know, we started that way back at the University of Miami days. That's how the Herschel Walker trade came about. Coming back from a walk, it was lunchtime, and we ended up trading Herschel Walker because we were about 0-6 that year, and we were getting ready to play the Kansas City Chiefs, and Joe Montana had just got traded to him, and I'm coming back. It's me, Jimmy, Tony, maybe Norv, and Richie Darrow, our PR director and our trainer. Kevin O'Neill always came in case somebody fell out, but. We were coming back, and I said, somebody said, what's it look like? I says, oh, I feel good this week. And Jimmy stopped in the middle of the walk, and he said, you feel good? He says, Dave, let me tell you what's going to happen. He says, I don't know if we're going to win a game, and they're going to fire all of our asses at the end of the year. I said, what? It's year one. He says, I'm telling you, we replaced Tech Schramm, Gil Brandt, and Tom Landry. This town is, and I said, well, I haven't. He says, have you even seen a newspaper or heard what? And I says, no. You know, I'm trying to figure out a way to slow down whoever. And he said, so we start saying, how are we going to make this turn? And they said, well, we got to trade. We got to get players. Says, who do we have that anybody wants? And we came up with two guys. Troy Aikman was a rookie, and he had a no-cut contract, a no-trade deal, and Herschel Walker. And by 5 o'clock that night, Jimmy had Herschel trade.
Unbelievable. And that trade completely made the dynasty.
Best trade in football history?
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Maybe?
Yep. Yep. Probably the best. Yeah, three number ones, three number twos, and three number threes.
You broke the NFL with that one. Coach, you're the best. Great to talk to you. Looking forward to having a tremendous season for what should be a very interesting Bears year.
All right. Didn't mean to bother you guys.
He said that once at the end of a Zoom like a month ago, and he knew it was gold, and we've played it back from time to time. Didn't mean to bother you. We called you, Coach. It's all good.
That's great.
Boy, there's a lot of big questions going on right now on the text lines. People want to know about Barry and cucumbers. People want to know about Barry and the sweet meteor of death.
Barry and pickles.
Both. We'll explain and we'll check in on these very important topics. And the Cubs comp I was trying to make for the Bears last hour that I didn't get to do.
Who cares?
You don't know what I want to do, you people.
No, we don't care.
Oh, that's the difference. It's the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You, for some reason, are listening to 670 The Score. I am Matt Spiegel, and I host in this time slot and have been. Dan Bernstein used to. He doesn't anymore, but he stuck around to work a double. He's here with me. And halfway through the show, Barry Rosner, who doesn't work here anymore, doesn't work anywhere anymore.
Even when I worked here, did I really work here?
Yeah, I think so.
I felt like Kramer with the roll of crackers in my briefcase, and the guy fires him. And Kramer goes, well, I don't even work here. And the guy goes, that's what makes this so difficult.
Well, you'd come in here with your
Seinfeld reference,
mm-hmm. with your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You haven't eaten it yet.
No.
It's still over there.
And that's an uncrustable.
He
used to at least have like that marble rye with peanut butter and jelly.
Get off the
mic.
You and the marble rye. You were so angry about the PB&J on marble rye.
No, I was just angry that you don't have a taste for anything.
No,
you
I really
care.
Don't. I really don't.
Oh, it's no, just... Barry grew up with a horrifically simple and unfortunate relationship to food, which has blessed him. It's blessed you with a lifetime of not having food issues and weight issues, frankly.
True. Well, I never wanted to be home for dinner, and I associated dinner with bad, so that probably had something to do with it, but I ain't going to therapy, Matt, so I'm not going to figure it out.
No.
Because I just don't care.
You did live radio instead, and we would, on occasion, you and I, discover some of the things that you didn't know about food, that you just... And it's one of my favorite moments ever in the history of this radio station is me talking to you during a break. And I was very excited as I ate my sweet and spicy pickles. And I was telling you about how good they were. And you said to me.
I was confused.
You said to me off the air.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. They just grow that way.
I said, they come out of the ground that way? And Spiegel looked at me.
I paused. I know it was just.
And then he said, don't say anything else. Don't say anything else. And then when we came back on the air, we started the conversation again.
And I said,
I had no idea.
You had no idea. Barry didn't realize that cucumbers are then brined and spiced, and they eventually become whatever kind of pickles they are destined to be.
I know they come in a jar.
The pickles are pickled cucumbers.
Barry, see, I'd never heard that before.
Yes.
I'd never...
Back up 1 second. That original food criticism came from Dan Bernstein, the man that carries around 3-4 day-old chicken in a plastic bag in his pocket, is criticizing Barry for liking a marble rye PB&J.
No, it wasn't just for that in particular.
No, you were angry about that. You said that was an offense to marble rye.
Well, it is.
No, it's just that he didn't...
He's correct.
But it's also that he just didn't care. It's just sustenance.
No.
Like, occasionally, a pizza puff, a Lou Malnati's pizza, he would actually enjoy eating. Otherwise, it was just something your body just needs
just
fuel.
At least once a year, he would say, isn't there anything that excites you? And I would say, yeah, Malnati. You can't say Malnati's pizza!
And it would be after hockey, he would again...
He would have a pizza puff.
A lot of it is association. I'm learning a lot of this, and you say you don't go to therapy, but I would say your therapist would probably talk about what the meaning of food and the associations of food. What better feeling is there after playing, you know, one of your hockey games?
Especially in the summers when I was vending, and I'm losing 10 pounds vending.
You're
and another 10
in Heartland, right?
Then I'm going to, it's usually Northbrook or Glenview.
Okay, but you'd go to the original Malnati's.
Then I'd go to the original in Lincolnwood. I'd sit at the bar, I'd order a pizza and a pitcher of beer, and I'd sit there and have my own pitcher of beer, my own pizza, and try to put calories back.
But made you happy.
At that moment, it did.
Yes.
The cheddar cubes are also outstanding.
There you go. So you can find those things.
He found a way. He created the atmosphere that made him want to eat, mm-hmm. as opposed to going home.
But you're right. I mean, I'm guilty of just eating because I know I'm supposed to.
Right.
And it brings me no pleasure at all.
I
know, me neither.
I fetishize my entire day around what I'm going to have for dinner.
100%.
I don't have fetishes, Dan.
Mine don't involve, you know, airline stewardesses.
Poppies and weird sex.
You were the one at Union Station in St. Louis, as it sounded like, looking for, you know, some friendship.
Oh, I almost... Union Station, St. Louis. I just got a weird memory rush. I think I got kicked out of Union Station, St. Louis.
I know there's a couple
this
of
bars. This was before. Yeah, but this was before. Oh, whoa.
All right, let's move.
I didn't mean to bring up the hooker thing in the middle of a memory. I got kicked out for like crashing a live music thing.
Oh, yeah, that's unfortunate. But you not knowing
went
that,
right
that,
by both
that the
guys.
Cucumber became a pickle was delightful. It came up the other day because we had a producer in here, Robbie Triano, who did not know that a prune was once a plum. had never realized that. So, and those kind of
and
moments.
Bad too. Does he realize that they're awful?
Maybe now.
I didn't know that either.
Did you not?
I didn't know that either.
What did you think a prune was?
Some shriveled piece of crap that I don't want.
It was a plum.
That's just you now.
It started like.
We never did get the old sports writer in here. He's over there sleeping on a bench.
Mm-hmm.
Should probably get him in here.
You want to talk to him?
We should just take his temperature. What's going on in Chicago sports?
Barry, go get
him. I'll go get him.
Go get the old sports writer.
So while Barry's doing that, Bernsey, this has been nice to have Barry here, don't you think?
What a pleasure.
There's a lot more meat left on that host bone.
You know what? I do think that retirement has de-aged him significantly.
Oh my God, he seems less of a curmudgeon. I'd like him a little less as well, but I think that
I think he's more interesting the less informed he is.
You guys could have made up all sorts of stuff today. I mean, like the Grady Sizemore thing, I did not believe.
That was amazing.
I did not believe.
You found out that Grady Sizemore was the manager, and you're like, the center fielder?
He was a good center fielder.
Yeah, what else? What really else good. Is there that...
Well, what was it in Back to the Future? Is it Ronald Reagan as president? The actor?
No, you know what? I'm grateful every day to just... to feel good and to be happy and to not feel stress and to not really think. I don't have to think very much.
That's
you know,
beautiful.
I do read quite a bit, but you know, it's just I love history, so I've gotten into, you know, areas of the Revolutionary War that I had never really explored before. And my dad was a big war guy and a big mob guy, so those things are extremely interesting to me. So I'm deep into both of those. I watched a series on the original five families from New York last week, and I learned
Did
stuff
you text
about
Chris Tannehill about this. That's your guy.
I only text him Sopranos stuff. I do have a Paulie. Are you getting these tree bites at all?
From the mites?
I got them all over me. I feel like Paulie Walnuts after the poison ivy, Tanny. I really do.
Yeah, no.
I got the calamine
lotion. Honestly, Beth and Zoe both, and Zoe says, well, you know that there's these mites that are microscopic and they eat the eggs that the cicadas lay and they drop out from trees. I said, would you stop it?
No.
Would you stop getting your news from TikTok?
It's true.
And it's true.
And they're giant. You get these giant welts.
Yes.
And I got about 40 of them right now. I got two more today. And I mean, it's at night, it wakes you up. They itch so much. You scratch until you want to make it bleed and then get infected.
I had to make a special CVS run to go get Benadryl cream.
Oh, because, boy, you.
No, for my wife, because she just said, I don't know what, and same thing. They said it's
a special CVS run?
In the middle of the night?
Okay.
But it's,
all right.
Come on.
You know, I'm great.
That's good husbanding.
I'm grateful though. Life is really good. And
there he is. The old sports writer is here. That's too bad.
So how are you doing?
No, he's doing badly.
Theo Epstein had him.
You always liked him, Theo.
I know he liked him, but why'd you like him so much?
He's good looking. He could have been a doctor, a lawyer, a politician. I don't know why. I don't know.
Okay, thanks for coming in, Tanny. Can you
see him out?
Can you do something about that?
He's deteriorated.
Yeah.
Wow.
He really has.
Yeah, exactly.
Put him out of his misery.
I remember. Wait, Tanny, he didn't have a broken leg. He's not a horse. You sure that was what
I remember when he asked?
Yes, he should be humanely destroyed. Inhumanely destroyed.
You remember when he asked Theo that at the very first press conference at Wrigley Field? Why did you go into baseball? You know, you're so good looking.
Why aren't you a lawyer?
You could have been a doctor or a lawyer. Or a politician. And I thought, you know, it was between that and Ronnie Woo Woo standing outside while Theo was trying to take pictures in front of the marquee. I thought he was just going to leave. I thought he was going to turn around and leave and go, this can't be. I thought this was a big city. I thought this was a real city. Where am I? In Des Moines? What is happening? Sorry, Des Moines. No offense intended, but for the love of God. I thought he was going to leave. Thought he was going
to
leave.
All right, while this came, I wasn't supposed to tell this on the air, but I'm gonna break a confidence.
Okay,
I know people who belong to a club where Theo belongs, and they were kind of just sitting around talking about, and there were some baseball games on TV, and the White Sox got mentioned.
Uh-oh.
And this was just in passing, and this was just guys sitting around having a couple of drinks. And Theo turns to my friend, and he says, well, I did the Red Sox. I did the Cubs. I should go do the White Sox. And it was a total joke, but I immediately texted me. He's like, hey, you're not going to believe this. Like, he's kidding. He's like, I know he's probably kidding.
I don't think he could do it.
No way. He wouldn't want to.
It would take way too long.
No. He wouldn't. Not for this owner.
Oh, yeah. No, it would take way too long, yeah. And it wouldn't get... Every time he's had the chance to do it, he's demanded a certain level of cleanliness and autonomy.
And spending.
Yes.
And why would you want the misery
right.
at this point? He's already a Hall of Famer. He's already... He's conquered the two most iconic franchises with these supposed... I'm not going to use the word, but these long droughts... And he did that. Why would you want the misery of doing it again? Where did he move back to Boston?
Yeah, he moved back to the East Coast.
Is he working in Boston?
This club is in, he's not in Boston.
But he rejoined the John Henry group in some fashion.
He's part of the ownership group. Remember his two jobs when he left, the two jobs that he eventually took. One was working with the commissioner's office. The other was with a private equity firm. As he learned finances.
Is that SSG? They're part of the group that's funding the PGA Tour now.
I'm not sure which group it was, but he was learning the finance part so he could eventually own sports teams. And now he's part of the John Henry group and is part owner of the team that he grew up blocks from in Brookline.
Wow.
So that's where he is and what he's doing and would like to focus on. We've got one more segment with Barry Rosner and Dan Bernstein. I thought of a couple other sports things Barry might not realize that we got to run by him.
Can ask me anything.
Oh, yeah. We'll ask a man who knows nothing about absolutely everything next on The Score.
Nobody knows anything, really.
I mean, truth is, Spiegel, I never really liked you.
Oh, we knew. I always knew.
Really, did you? Because that's the truth. But I dislike Bernstein a lot more than I dislike you.
And you've had a chance to dial that in today. We had a lot of fun with Barry Rosner today at Spiegs and Bernstein and Rosner and Tanny and Shane. And I was thinking that we should go around the room and the four of us will give you a recent sports development and get your thoughts on it, okay, Barry?
Because you know I'm not paying attention to very much.
You're not paying attention. You told us you watched the playoffs last year in MLB.
Playoffs, yeah.
And you watch a lot of hockey and a lot of golf.
Yes.
So all the other sports are available. Here's one where I'll go, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this.
Real quick, though, Barry, it's three truths and a lie.
Thank you.
You've got to figure out who the lie
is. Gotcha. Shane, we discussed that like 20 minutes ago. We're well aware of that, but thank you for
but the
help.
He's for the listeners. He's for thinking about the listeners.
Damn it.
You know.
The hell out of here.
For kids. So
There's several of them, Barry. Don't laugh when we say listeners. There are several of them out there.
There are more listeners than were at the White Sox game this afternoon, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, you should be proud then.
I'm not. So here's one. The guy that you famously had to remind people was worth delaying to come to the majors because seven was more than six.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant has turned into an apathetic, oft-injured, joyless...
So have the people who were angry about Tom Ricketts not paying him, have they apologized to him for not giving him like $500 million?
No.
Are those people apologizing?
No, nobody's apologizing.
I'm just asking. I'm asking for a friend.
But remember how much fun he seemed to have and like playing baseball?
Yeah.
He really is not that into it.
Well, he took a lot of money to play for a terrible team.
Yeah.
So,
I just wanted to pass that on. All right.
No, do we make sure that the ground rules here?
But I believe him that he's bad.
Yeah.
And
often hurt.
And often hurt.
And apathetic.
He was hurt when he was here.
That's a good point. All right. It was too easy. All right. So that was the truth.
I believe you.
Yeah, but you don't have to hear them all judge. You're supposed to pick the one that isn't true.
Don't yell
Dan,
at me.
We talked about that 20 minutes ago.
Don't yell at me, Dan.
All right, so Barry, keep quiet.
I don't have to work with
you
anymore.
Two truths and a lie. It's a totally different segment.
Hey, Barry,
Shane, you shut up.
Barry, you remember 2016, you did a lot of shows with us, right?
Yes,
I did. So many shows.
You remember, like the whole summer for Terry, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. You remember when the
Some people thought I was going to get hired after that.
You definitely got paid for them, right?
I'd have to look back and see. Eventually, usually, it came through, but it wasn't quick. But so, yes, Tanny, I remember 2016.
You do remember that's when the White Sox...
I had to work with Dan the whole summer.
Barry, remember when I told you to keep quiet?
Sorry. We were all reeling. Terry was sick, and we had to work with Dan. We were all reeling.
All right, go ahead.
Do you remember when the White Sox tore it all down and the big centerpiece of their big trade for Chris Sale, Yoan Moncada, and, of course, Michael Kopech? Do you remember the name Michael Kopech?
I do.
Well, he was traded from the White Sox not too long ago, and since he's been traded, you believe this stat line, 13 and a third innings, just 3 hits, only 1 earned run, just 3 walks, 19 strikeouts. He's got an ERA of 0.68 for the Dodgers.
All right, you don't have to rule on it, Barry. Okay. That Shane? May or may not be true.
Shane?
Barry, you're familiar with baseball play-by-play broadcaster Jason Benetti, correct?
Yes.
Now, would you believe me if I said the Chicago White Sox fired the hometown kid, White Sox fan, who did their broadcast solely because they don't like the way he looks eating on camera?
Okay, Dan.
Okay. The HBO show Hard Knocks has been around for 20-plus years. And Hard Knocks, the gritty Hard Knocks training camp with Blank has been its first time ever with the Bears. But it's been different this year, and we couldn't quite put our finger on what's been different. But one thing that's happened is that no players have ever been seen on camera without their shirts on. And when asked why, a spokesperson from HBO Hard Knocks says it was due to a specific request by Virginia McCaskey, who said she found the idea unwholesome.
Oh, unwholesome versus Kopech versus...
Benetti fired for eating.
For eating on camera.
Because the White Sox don't like the way he looks eating on camera.
One of them sounds really absurd and should never happen.
I don't know what to say. I think any of them are possible. I think they're all stupid. I'm going to say Benetti eating on camera, the reason that they let him go, is incorrect.
No. That's a true thing.
That's insane.
He works for the Tigers now.
He wasn't fired, though.
Kopech, I didn't even know he was still pitching, so I don't know what to say about that. I guess it's Virginia McCaskey and the shirts. Is she still... I wasn't sure she was...
But I only made a small change. It is true that this is the first Hard Knocks with no swearing, and that is due to what they said was respect for the McCaskey family.
Oh, for God's sake.
Ridiculous world. Aren't you glad you don't have to...
That's idiotic, too.
Indeed it is.
God, that's such a Bears thing.
Yep.
Do they have a stadium? What's happening with that?
Don't start.
We'll do that next time you come in.
That's never. Hey. I just want to say, guys, this is... I do like Tanny. Tanny's really the only one here that I like. Yeah. The rest of you can go scratch. And
I may.
I hope to never see the others of you again ever.
Well, thanks for coming in so you could tell us that. That was really nice.
I agree.
Way to end on a
Tanny's
positive
with,
note.
Tanny's with me.
Yeah, of course he
Tanny
is.
Tanny hates the rest you of like you him. Also.
I follow you to the gates of hell, Barry.
No further.
This hasn't been it? This hasn't been us at the gates of hell? That's what it's felt like.
Matt, so serious, trying so hard to do a radio show. Bernstein
no,
and I
you.
Ruining every single
every
segment.
Single,
no, thank
I
you.
Teased the same thing 6 different times.
There's no way I was letting you do
we
it.
We never got
There's
to
no
it.
Way I was
we never
you
got
do
to it.
It.
Victory is ours.
Good job, boys.
Thank you.
Thank you to our guests on the show. Chris Emma, he was good. And Dave Wanstead was on the show. And he was also good. Thank you to Shane and Tanny for being the men that they are. Thank you to Dan Bernstein for working a double. Appreciate it, Bernsey. Go back and listen to Transition, where I revealed a story about Bernstein I've never told anyone on the air. And then Barry Rosner showed up. He wrote a book once. It was a very readable book. And his wife still makes delicious brownies. which he once brought to the studio to prove that they were indeed delicious. Love to you, Barry. Love to your wife and your daughters. Thanks for coming in. This was really fun.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I had fun today, and it's a surprise to me because walking through that garage smells the same. I was triggered. Mm-hmm. Coming up here and seeing you guys, I was triggered again. Turning on the mic is weird. It's very, very weird after a long time being back. But I will be honest and say this was fun today.
Wow. Hey. Wow. All right. Do you have any more thoughts? I'd love for you to start something so I could cut you off.
That would be just like it always was. Put the stop sign up. Sorry, we got to go.
When you see my fist, that means stop talking.
And when you see this.
What are we, back to Willie Wilson? Rami Matloff is next. Rami's going to have a great show. Stick around and listen to it on 670 The Score.
So long, everybody. Hey.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.